Thank you for listening to the Calvary Monterey podcast. Please visit calvary.com to learn more about our church. And visit nateholdridge.com for additional Bible teaching from our lead pastor, Nate Holdridge.
Nate, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about your book, 1 Peter, The Grace of Exile. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but if you just give me just like 30 seconds to say thank you for this book. I remember when you taught these messages to the church, it was during COVID. We were outside. We were just trying to figure out how to do this whole thing with COVID. We were meeting in little circles on the grass outside, and we were asking all kinds of questions, like, what is up with this vaccine? Are these masks working? How do we love each other through this weird time? There's so much race stuff going on, political stuff going on. We're asking so many questions, but this teaching series, this book, snapped us back to, I think, the central question we have to ask, which is, what are we doing here? Like, what's our whole purpose being here on this planet during this time? And you're just like, look, dude, 1 Peter talks about us being exiles, people who love God, love his people, regardless of what's happening in this world. And it just got us asking the right questions. So I just want to say thank you for that moment, because it was confusing for a lot of us. And it's a message that applied to us then. It applies to us now. It's a message that's evergreen. So thank you for that. Just had to say that before we got started.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, with that, one thing I was thinking about with this book is for Christians, maybe we're like not really familiar with that term, exile. Like, why would I be an exile in this world? You know, why is that message relevant today? It sounds kind of scary, honestly, in some ways. But I wanted to ask you, why do you think it's important for Christians to actually see themselves as exiles? What's the purpose of that?
Yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of debate about that term and whether Western and especially American Christians can co-opt that term to describe themselves. Some people would say, no, we can't go that far. I'm definitely not trying to say in these sermons or in this book that we are, you know, a most persecuted people or something like that. We have so much freedom, so much peace. You know, someone asked me the other day if we were in the Great Tribulation because of something they saw at Whole Foods. And my answer was, just the fact that there is a Whole Foods should tell you something about whether we're in the tribulation or not. I have a very peaceful life in general. But the term exile, it comes from the Old Testament. The people of Israel, after centuries of disobedience, had to experience the discipline that was baked into the covenant that they were in with God from Mount Sinai. God had said, if you disobey me for a really long time, one of the last straws will be that you will be put into exile. You'll be banished from the land that I promised Abraham so many centuries earlier, and you will be in exile. You'll come back, but you'll be in exile. You'll be forced to make a life far away from the land. And I don't know that I would have done much with that unless Peter had come along and in his first letter to the church started out by writing to them and saying, calling them exiles.
Right.
And then he concluded his letter, which to me is a description of this Christian exilic life. He concluded it by saying, this is the true grace of God. And to me, the life that he describes, it really is a life that is a life where grace is manifested. If you can figure out in a society that kind of doesn't like your Christianity, so much of the pressure that they felt in 1 Peter, it's verbal, it's attitudinal. It hadn't yet crossed into physical forms of persecution. And I think a lot of us can relate to that, you know, being ridiculed or insulted or looked down upon for our Christian faith. If you can endure that well with the Lord, you're going to experience a brand of his grace that you don't experience when Christianity is the favored mentality. So for me, the reason why it's so important for a Christian to adopt an exilic mentality is because without it, you just get thrown far too easily by the events of our time. You know, like you said a little bit earlier, when I preached these originally, the world was on fire.
On fire.
And it's kind of like no less on fire now, and I don't think it's going to be any less on fire in the future. You know, sometimes people will talk to me about, like, well, the founders of America, they thought, well, the founders of America, many of them thought that everything was just going to get better and better and better. That was their eschatological grid. I don't necessarily think that way. I think there's going to be a reviving of God's people, but also that, you know, people will call good evil and evil good. So when we can adopt that exilic mentality, we just do better, you know. It helps us with, sometimes I'll hear Christians use the word we and our in the wrong way. They will be, and it's challenging because we're dual citizens. So like whatever culture we're part of, that is our culture. We are a part of it. But to the apostles, they didn't really think of like Roman culture as something that was, that is our culture. We are this. They saw themselves as exiles living in the midst of that culture. How are we going to form our Christian community in the middle of that kind of hostility? So I think that the situation that that Peter was dealing with then is so perfect for our time today.
Amen. That's so true. I love what you said about there's a certain kind of grace that's manifested in
Absolutely.
Exile. There's something about, I think just even like the word exile for a lot of Christians, it just sounds kind of scary. It's like, gosh, I don't want to be in exile. I didn't choose that necessarily. I love Jesus, his message. I love the gift of salvation. I want to be a disciple. But exile, like, that sounds a little too intense, maybe. But I love that you mentioned there is a grace to it. So I was curious if you could expound on that a little bit, just for somebody who might be scared of that term. Because you talk about it in the book a lot. But, like, how does that grace kind of manifest?
Yeah.
And why shouldn't we be scared of it? Should we be scared of it?
I think what I would say is I want you to be more scared of the word, and I want you to be more scared of all the words that describe what Christians are. I mean, I want you to be scared by the word slaves. I want you to be scared by the word Christian, which in its original means Christ-like. I want you to be scared of the word disciple. That means that you are taking your cues from a rabbi, a master who is teaching you and patterning you after himself. Like, I would love for you to be more scared by these words. I don't believe in a safe Christianity at all, or a safe Jesus that doesn't demand anything or expect or want anything for our lives. So I would hope you'd be a little scared by the word exile. It does have that tenor to it of, wow, like, I'm not in the favored majority. That makes life a little bit challenging. It is easier when you are in the favored majority. So I would say that I'm not going to try to make you feel unafraid of being an exile, but I will comfort you with the reality that just as there was the invisible fourth character walking with Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace, so there is an experience of God and his nature that you cannot get outside of the fire. Paul called it the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. There's a friendship with Jesus that is so rich and beautiful and contains so much depth and satiation that you can get through experiencing a little bit of Christ's sufferings with him. Listen, he went and died on a cross. It was brutal. We might have someone say something mean to us on Instagram. It's very different. It's just a little taste of what Christ experienced, the rejection and animosity that was hurled his way. People insulted him verbally while he was pierced through his hands and feet. We might get assaulted verbally while we are leaving our comfortable church service or something like that. So it's not an equivalent, but it's a taste. And there's fellowship with the Lord in that taste. And I think that's what Peter meant when he said, this is the true grace of God. It's a false grace of God to say everything's happy, clappy, and those are the only conditions in which I feel like I'm good with God. But man, when you can go through the waves, the fire, the tumult, and experience the Lord in that, then it's like, okay, I must be onto something. I must be dealing with the true grace of God right now, rather than a grace that is attached to everything going my way, everything being just happening swimmingly, and everything being peaceful. Those are great times. We should thank God for those times. And you can have them simultaneously to being in exile. I mean, that was the original mandate to the children of Israel. You need to go to Babylon and you need to pray for the peace of Babylon. You need to build houses and have families and be a blessing to that society and culture. But make no mistake, you're not Babylonian. And I think that there's a grace that God gives us in that. So don't be afraid. It's just a Christian thing. It's what we're called to. But we talk about that a lot through the book. Right. It's just the idea that when this kind of marginalization happens to especially believers who aren't used to being marginalized, right, but are used to being like the influential voices mm-hmm. in a society, when that marginalization happens, we either run away in fear, you know, the let's go buy a property deep in Idaho altogether and just run away and get away from the madness. We will either do that or retaliate in sinfully angry kinds of ways, yeah, very unattractive and unappealing and unlike Jesus. You just don't see Jesus in that kind of response. Or we will buckle and just assimilate into, mm-hmm, right, you know, so, okay, this is the new view that is culturally acceptable. I'm going to try to find a way to just like twist and bend my Bible and my Christianity to like conform to that. And listen, there's a whole lot of stuff that modern Western Christianity holds to that isn't biblical. It's good for us to revisit our Bibles and make sure that mm-hmm. we're believing the right things. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about just the clear basics of the Bible and of Scripture that people are in our modern age twisting, as Paul said, to their own destruction. And we don't want to respond in any of those ways, retreat or anger or assimilation. We want to have just a gracious, calm boldness in the face of all that. And Peter's stuff really helps us with that. I mean, we took our time going through this book, through the book of 1 Peter. It's a 27 chapter book that, you know, I've written partly because there's just so much there that helps us in our modern time.
Amen. Dude, so good. I mean, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, this is a pastor writing to the church, you know? So I know you have an understanding of Scripture and you've thought about how it applies to the church. When you think about all we're talking about, you know, exile and sharing God's Christ's suffering and his grace, his love and his pain, the whole thing, how do you see this impacting the church? Like you as a pastor, how would you like to see this impact the church of the future?
Mm-hmm. I think the main thing that I really hope for is that the book of 1 Peter would help us be okay with being different and be okay with not having the power, but being okay being part of the Jesus kingdom. There's a little section, for instance, in the middle, because in the middle of the book, Peter dives into like this sequential series of encouragements to submit. So he talks about like submitting to governing authorities. So we talk about what that means. He talks about marriage and marital responsibilities, husband and wife. And so we did a thing for 3 weeks, which turned into 3 chapters, where I'm talking to first I call it exile wives, exile husbands, and then we do exile dating, because obviously not everyone in the church is married or even called to be married, but a lot of people would like to be. And so I wanted to take a look at, like, how, if I'm a believer, and if a believer does things differently and we don't take our cues from the culture or world that we're in, then how do I do marriage? How do I do dating? So I'm hoping that people come away with a feeling that, you know, it's okay to be different.
I love that, being different. Being okay with being different, being okay with being sold out for Christ, being okay with being missional in our life. Nate, as we finish up this conversation, is there anything else you wanted just to share with the people about the book, or not dates or anything like that, but just like from you to them about this book, about the message, any kind of like thoughts you had for the people?
Yeah, there's something about seeing the Word of God on a page and then wrestling with arguments designed to help you understand the word that you've just written. And that's what my stuff is. That's what these books are. And so my encouragement to people who are interested in this would be just go slowly. You don't need to power read this. You can just, if you get bored of it for a season, just set it to the side, keep your bookmark in there, because I think each passage in 1 Peter has something for you. So just slowly go through it, let God speak to you. There's some good study questions at the end of each chapter designed to kind of help you think through how to apply it in your own life today, if there is application. And thanks for reading and checking it out. I hope that it's an encouragement to you. My goal with every book of the Bible that I teach and write about is that when someone is done with me going on that journey, my hope is that that book of the Bible will be a friend to them from that point forward in their Christian life, that they can return to, that it wouldn't be my words, but that my words will help you understand the word so that the word can be there for you in the years to come. So probably many of you have read 1 Peter before and have been encouraged by it. I think after wrestling with it with me, you'll probably come away with a deeper appreciation for 1 Peter and get more out of it in the years to come.
I love that. Just like a song or like a smell can kind of take you back to a scene or some memory from the past. I feel like that with 1 Peter, like it is a buddy of mine now because you taught us through it. I'm looking forward to rereading this book again. So thank you, Nate, for writing it. For all of you who are watching on YouTube, listening on the podcast, thank you for listening to this. Pastor Nate's book is available for purchase on Sunday, June 2nd on Amazon. You can check nateholdridge.com for all those details. But thank you for purchasing, for reading, and for being here with us today. God bless you. Thanks again.